Hola. This is obviously Rexy Fuentes. I had a good day yesterday, and I felt very happy that I was able to begin spinning that story, Perquito and Lupe Lemos. And I was going to continue with that, but I thought it'd be best to give it a rest later, soon, let's say. I have some reflections that I call the art of nicknaming in Las Vecindades, East Austin, Texas. They're taken mostly from my memories from late 30s clear up to, I guess, 1950s. And the one thing that I've realized throughout my life is that those of us growing up in the barrio and vecindades of East Austin, I can remember the names of a few at this point. Naturally, there was the one, La Vecindad de la Calle Nueve, La Calle Ancha, La Vecindad de Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, which was around the Guadalupe Church. There was one called El Soquete, which is from 3rd Street, where every time it rained, all the streets would become mud. The nicer, pleasant memories were all 7th Street and Canadian, and in the vecindad of Santa Rita, Santa Maria, San Jose, La Loma, just to mention a few. The memory I have definitely makes it clear that people from our part of the world at that time and had this talent, I would say, or tendency towards nicknaming. In East L.A., I learned it was called La Placa, which was the nickname that your buddies would give you and that you would accept, that you enjoyed having. Mexicanos as a whole, la gente, especially gente chicana, Mexicanos del Norte, which means, of course, north of the Mexican border, a growing number, lest I got any kind of estimate, we're talking 60 to 70% of 42, 46 million who are residing in the United States. Out of that, it's estimated that 11 million are so-called illegals. I don't know what that belongs in terms of this essay, but I'm talking about East Austin and in the pronounced tendency for nicknaming. The funny part for me is that I never really learned the Spanish word for nicknaming. My trusty English-Spanish dictionary says apodo, apodar, and I think about that. Placa, it's mostly to people in the street, what you call the clicas. That's what we call them. I resent the other term for it. I won't even mention it. If there's a thought on nicknaming, the first one would be about Austin's, is that there must be something about Central Texas in the area of Austin for nicknaming. because when President George W. Bush first became president many moons ago, he was known, immediately got known as a person who had a real propensity for giving anybody or everybody a nickname. So then I thought, wow, maybe there must be something about it, you know, that makes people want to give nicknames. Some of us, yours truly, for sure, experienced a real variety of having been nicknamed. In my case, I inherited a nickname, Kiko. I've told the story 100 times of how my uncle Kiko had gotten killed by a truck when he was selling papers in the late 20s there on 6th and Congress. And so I was destined to be named after him, so which means that my name is Francisco, which is the standard nickname, is Kiko. And it's easy to see that when a young child tries to say Francisco, it can come out as Kiko. Kiko, my dear cousin Gloria Cifuentes, who died about 3 years ago, bless her wonderful, wonderful being and her soul. She was nicknamed Yaya. If you tried to imagine her younger brother and her younger sister trying to call her name, Gloria, you could see how it could come out, Yaya. Of course, there's a lot of other millions of examples, other examples of here in, I would say, in Los Angeles, if your name is Pedro, you can become a Petey. Or if your name is Rafael or Ralph, you can become a Rafas. Roberto's, it seems, almost always it seems, it's called Betos. Manuals are called memes, and so on and so on. Generally, you can find the source of a nickname by the first name. However, as is the case with the indigenous people of the Americas, let's say that they were here many thousands of years before anybody from from Europe came. They would nickname, and it seemed to me, and given a certain aspect or characteristic of a person. I think most people that know about that, the Indians know that that's how they get those this wonderful names like Sitting Bull or whatever. My son, who I was very instrumental in assuring that his nickname would be Frank. Because his nickname was Frank, was Bear, he had characteristics of a bear, and I could see that, especially as bears continue to be portrayed in various forms. I'm happy to report that my wife Sarah calls me, among other things, Pancho. And so and that's the case with the close friends here in Southern California. They call me Pancho. I like it. I love it. I love it because when my wife calls me Pancho, she gives a very specific meaning each time. Would be Pancho, Pancho, Pancho. She has more intonations the entire Navajo language, which I don't really know that much about, but I have heard that they can use one word and make it mean so many different things just by the sound. I like Pancho to the point that I call myself, my placa would say, be Pancho del Rancho. There's it just seems to me that every red-blooded Mexicano who does not have an affinity for the name Pancho is pretty rare, due to the fact that the most legendary figure, Pancho Villa, was probably the country's greatest hero, one of them. There must have been thousands of them. Pancho Villa. Interestingly, now in this time in my life, I don't recall ever being called Pancho, neither in the neighborhood nor by my grandparents or my brother and sister, mom and dad, because I was very, very, very much a Kiko, which I have often said worried me because my uncle Kiko had gotten killed when he was only 13 years old. By the time I was 10, I was called Panzón, Gordito, Fatso, Chubby, or any way one would choose to call a overweight person fat. I contend that I never was really fat as I was being portrayed, because if you look on my side of the Morenos, my mother's side, all the men in our family on that side were like huge, you know. I guess I'd have to draw a picture or something. They were big, and it seemed like they had a lot of fat on them, but it was relatively, relatively solid. And I just couldn't believe that I was chubby because I ate too much, when all I can remember is that I didn't get enough to eat. But when I was in school, at Zavala School, especially the kid from Santa Rita gave me another nickname, the nickname Porky. It didn't upset me because it didn't mean derogative related to, you know, being fat or overweight or anything. The nickname Porky came from the cartoons, the Looney Tunes. Porky the Pig, who was a really a sweet, innocent person who was patient and real slow to anger. But once he got angered, he'd start stuttering. If anybody had ever seen the Looney Tunes, Porky the Pig, and I liked him. I thought he was a likable character, so I didn't discourage anybody from calling me Porky. Of course, I had not, at that time, I wasn't anywhere near to being an adolescent or a teenager. I would get excited when I saw the Looney Tunes character Porky, and I found it very humorous that he would stutter. I basically had the impression that he was really a good guy. All he wanted is people to treat him, nice, which is not always possible, and that he knew how to defend himself. Well, why wouldn't anybody dislike a nickname like that? I even felt that I... It was funny. Either I was already that way, or once they started calling me Porky, I became more confident and I acted that way. Although stuttering, it has to do with getting really emotional, or maybe it's an indication of a repressed personality. Talking about getting back to the idea of nicknaming in Austin, there was a gentleman who owned a little small taxi company with only two cabs, whose name was Roy Velasquez. He must have nicknamed, hundreds of people from Austin. He gave me the nickname Humpty Dumpty, like the Humpty Dumpty who sat on the wall and Humpty Dumpty who had a great fall. And I had, at that time, I had already started to stretch out. As a matter of fact, I was a little on the thin side. However, because of the size of my head, it looked disproportionately large, and obviously he got that idea. When one got nicknamed, by the way, by Roy Velasquez, it very, very often stuck. It did with me, especially after I became friends with a clique called ourselves Los Prietos de la Calle Ancha, Jesse, Chuy Romero, Luis Polanco, Lefty, three-timer, because he'd been to Correa three times, Raymond Martinez, he was called Jumbo, no, I forget, I'm sorry. I know he was called, I thought he had the personification of a joker, but he was more like a Zumbo. Anyway, I got an unusual name when I became a busboy at the Spanish Village in South Austin, when head waiter of the place, a man named Wilon, was always needling me because he not only thought, but he knew that I moved too slow in clearing the dishes from the table. And my only job was to get the dishes off the table as fast as possible. If I had been permitted, I would have taken the tablecloth and tied it up in a knot and just get rid of it. But Wilon really got to me, boy, with remarks like this. Andale pronto, muévete, pareces que andas rosado. Of course, he meant well in the sense that he was training me to do exactly what I was getting paid, every bit of 25 cents an hour. I don't believe, or it did not seem to me, that he realized that he was hurting my feelings. One day, I was with Wilon and La Señora Gonzalez, was the hostess, she's the wife of the owner, and a couple of other waitresses sitting around a table that we were preparing for the next rush of hungry Americanos who craved Spanish food. Well, seemed kind of odd, since we knew that we were not serving anything except Mexican food. It was an odd thing, because when they called us Mexicans, they wouldn't say Mexican, they would say Mexican. And it would be derogative, because they would say, like, dirty Mexican or black Mexican or whatever. And that they didn't know any better, that that the food was not Spanish. But Willon always made reference to my need, or his need, for me to speed things up. So finally I got inspired to tell my sad story of how I had gotten polio when I was 11 years old, and that that actually had to learn to walk again, and that the way I told it apparently was very touching. I could almost see the tears coming out of the waitress's eyes. And Willon, while he's smoking his puro and looking at me without giving any sign of what he was thinking, as my luck would have it, we had a lot of people that night, and so I had always gotten assigned to clear the table that Willon was waiting on. And of course, the logic was that the more tables that he could wait on, the more propina he would make. That had a direct positive effect on me, because I would get a percentage, I don't even remember. So it wasn't a bad thing in that sense. But he would really let me have it, but good. He'd yell at me, saying, "Hey," at this, after I told my story, I should say, he started yelling at me, saying, "Hey, Polio, you're slow as molasses in the wintertime." And the worst one yet, he would yell, "Hey, Polio, muévete, parece que anda zurrado." Anyway, that's the way it was. So this is kind of hard to believe, but afterwards, I kind of liked that nickname. For some reason, I liked it. It just meant something. So Willon, it turned out, was another master of nicknaming, as Roy Velasquez. I would say between Roy and Willon, they probably nicknamed half of the kids in Austin, East Austin. Let's see. Well, I thought I had a lot more to say, but I can elaborate on one thing, and that is the name Pancho. In Texas, I don't recall ever being called Pancho by anyone, and obviously it was because I was just a natural Kiko. Sometimes my uncle Jimmy would call me, it would say Frankie. I couldn't relate to that. The only Frankie I knew was Frank Sinatra, and I was no Frank Sinatra. Much later, when I was in had settled in California, and by the, I would say, the 1960s, I didn't experience the feeling of being called Pancho, unless it was done in a derogative sense, which, of course, made it pretty certain that I wasn't going to like it and I didn't want it. And I would confront the person that would use it because I knew, by that time I knew that the idea I thought was cute, they would call every Mexicano Pancho as a way of saying, I don't know, some kind of a superiority. When I worked in the post office, there were nothing but postmen there who were, actually, most of them were Southerners. And they would, they knew I wouldn't go for a poncho, but there was one mailman, I don't remember what his name was, but he said he wasn't a poncho. But while he worked there, he became a poncho. And so every morning when the truck would come in with the drinks and food, they'd shout, "Hey, Pancho, the truck with," and so then this guy would go in, "Tacos and giladas up there in front, babo." And then I really disliked it because I'd become a little bit of a so-called elite because I had just actually had already finished my degree at UCLA, and I was earning a living while I think I had one more course. So what happened there, though, was that one of the gentlemen who were working there with me got the idea that he could call me Pancho, and I corrected him right away. And little by little, as he demonstrated some kind of resentment, I would become even in turn more resentful. And so somehow or the other, he decided that instead he would call me John Wayne. Like, and then he would call me Alamo. Well, anyway, if ever anyone listens to this, they can go ahead and maybe figure that one out. I could just give it a little conclusion. The gentleman was real nice, actually. He didn't mean, I don't think he meant anything real bad. He had been in a police force and he had got wounded and he couldn't resume his career as a policeman. But he did finally get to me and I blew up on him. And man, I just lashed out at him. He remained cool, of course, after all the experience he had had as a policeman. He sure knew that he could survive. But he did say, "You better watch out. I'll go home and get my gun." So, being a little irrational, I might say, I told him, "Well, you better go get your gun because you're going to need it." And after that, things got better. I think for some reason he ended up respecting me more. And then, we had to collaborate on so many different things. How could we have any kind of feud going on there? We were getting paid well for people that, at least in my case, anyway, that I'm sure, I'll tell you what I'll do. I think I'll have to do another turn on this thing about the nicknames.